Our scripture will be from 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is from the Clear Word Bible. Grace and peace be yours a thousandfold from an understanding of God made possible through Jesus Christ. God's divine power has given us everything we need to live a Christian life, plus the knowledge of His goodness and glory. God has given us magnificent and precious promises to help us become more Christ-like and to live above the evil desires of this world. Now our sermon.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Yes. It's wonderful to be with you again. Before we start, let's have another word of prayer, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come to your house to worship you, to gather together, to encourage one another. Father, to bring our petitions to you in prayer. And Lord, as you know, there are many, many needs. And we just rejoice in the fact that you love us and you hear our prayers and you want to give us help and you want to see us through. So Lord, as again we take a few moments to open your word and consider the direction you might have us go in our lives, we pray that your Spirit will touch our hearts and our lives, and may my thoughts and my words honor you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a child of the 60s. Well, I'll date myself, born in the mid-50s. But because I grew up during that time as a young man, as a late teenager, I grew up in the age of what was known as muscle cars. Anybody here relate? Yes, okay. A few hands higher than others. Yeah, and you know, back then especially, what really used to get me excited was a trip down to the drag strip. Did anybody here ever go to the drags? Oh, a number of you. Good. Okay, well, you know a little bit what I'm talking about. Maybe more than I know what I'm saying. But especially was exciting on what was called Funny Car Day. And funny cars were, well, they're kind of strange-looking, stretched out, narrowed versions of stock sort of cars you'd see. They're just actually a fiberglass body over a frame with a huge engine in it. And if you don't know what drag racing is, it's when you put two cars side by side on the starting line, and 1,320 feet down, there's another light down there at the end of the strip. And right in the middle, there's this little thing of lights they called a Christmas tree, because it had yellow, 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 green, and they would come down in sequence. When it hits green, both drivers take off, and whoever gets to the end first wins. Well, this special type of racing ends up that the very fastest of all were known as AAFDs. They were fuel dragsters, and then the funny cars were the same thing. They were incredible pieces of machinery because they're going really fast. By the time they get to the end, they have to have parachutes to slow them enough so that the brakes will work. And I mean fast. Nowadays, they're going over 300 miles an hour from a standstill to a quarter of a mile down the road. And these engines are incredible. I spent some years as an automotive mechanic and motorcycle mechanic, so forgive me if you're not into that sort of thing for a moment. But it is incredible. Out of an 8-cylinder engine today, these top engines are turning out 12,000 horsepower in one 8-cylinder engine. I mean, the car I drove down here today had, I don't know, 120 horsepower maybe. Our cars today don't have a whole lot, but they're incredible. I mean, the top time that I've seen is 336.15 miles an hour. In 8/10 of 1 second, they're doing 100 miles an hour. In 660 feet, they're over 280 miles an hour. It is incredible. And I tell you, these engines don't run on gasoline, and be glad you don't have to buy this stuff. But it's a mixture of nitromethane and alcohol. Nitromethane has its own oxygen bound in it, and that's what makes it so explosive and burns so well. And blue-yellow fire belches out of their exhaust 3 to 4 feet when they get on it. And you can stand 50 feet away from it and look down at your pant legs, even your jeans, and they'll be vibrating from the percussive force coming out of these engines. It's amazing. Put your fingers in your ears and you open your mouth, because if not, your ears will hurt to be that close. If you haven't experienced it, it's very impressive. From the moment these engines start up until they just jump off the line down there, is incredible. Well, for those who like little technical things too, in 1977, there's a lady named Kitty O'Neill in the Mojave Desert piloted a hydrogen peroxide powered rocket dragster to the quickest quarter mile time in history. She did it in 3.22 seconds, hit 396 miles an hour in a quarter mile. That's incredible. And we think of that kind of power, and to me it's like, whoa, how can they hold these things together? And sometimes they don't. But then you kind of jump into, well, let's talk about rockets just for a second. The Saturn V, remember the Saturn V rocket? The Gemini lifts and all of those things? They put out 7.5 million pounds of thrust. The space shuttle, with both boosters and the main engines on, put out 7.8 million pounds of thrust. I mean, that's power, right? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of power in your life? I don't mean to go out and do those things. I mean in your life. To somehow you could race down life's highway with all the power to spare and that you could be assured of a win. We'd all like to be winners, right? Well, a couple of you do. To conquer all of life's obstacles, to have the power to do that instead of being beaten down and discouraged and full of stress over it. We need that kind of power in our life, right? So where do we get that power to run this race of life? And is it even possible to have that so that we're not stressed out over COVID and over jobs and over money and over health and over all these different things? You know, it might be even bad habits we'd like to break or fears and anxieties that we need to conquer. How do we get the upper hand on those problems? Well, you heard this morning already, Dr. Luke read a wonderful passage in Scripture in 2 Peter. If you've got your thumb there, or turn back to 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, and the answer for this power lies right here in just a couple of verses. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, according to what? His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust or through desires. Did you catch the importance of those words? We read that God gives us his power. His power. And he gives it enough of it to us to take care of all the things that pertain to life. That kind of covers it, doesn't it? Unto life and unto godliness. That's incredible. So let me assure you, God's power is even greater than any of the dragsters or any of the rockets or anything else out here on this earth. And not only that, he says he gives it to us free. And I wonder why we struggle so much. He says all we need to do is to ask, to believe. Let his character into us. Let go of our old selfish ways in our hearts. And by his power within us, we desire and want to follow him. And he even gives us the power to do that. And he pours more power into our lives as we grow in our Christian walk. And there is enough power in God to take care and handle anything this life can produce for all of us and the entire world. We have a wonderful God, amen? You know, when we think of difficulties and huge problems, my mind kind of tries to grasp different things of what might be a good example. And years back, I mean, this is like 22 years ago, I came across this, but I thought it was really interesting. There was a gentleman named Dr. Danny Kellum from the headmaster of the Donaldson Christian Academy that put this together, and he was thinking one day about Moses and the people in the desert. And there's what, three and a half million plus or minus, plus all the others? That's a lot of people, right? And Moses, on just the word of God, led these people away from everything that would support them. For instance, how are they going to feed them? Well, we know the story, right? We can say God did. And Moses had faith in God. But what would it take to feed that kind of stuff? And he started wondering, well, who could have that sort of answer? And the only one he could come up with is with the military. So he got a hold of the Army's quartermaster general. And he put it to him, who, you know, used to feed and millions of guys, or at least historically. And he predicted them, and they came back with, it's reported that Moses would have to have had 1,500 tons of food a day. And to bring that much food each day, two freight trains, each one a mile long, would be required each day. Besides that, remember, they're out in the desert, and they had to cook their food, right? So they figured how much firewood might have to take to be able to just do basic cooking for this food, and they came up with 4,000 tons of wood, which would be a few more freight trains, each a mile long, for every day. And they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And they would need water, right? If they only had enough to drink and wash maybe a few little dishes, the army says it would take 11 million gallons of water a day. That would be freight train of tank cars 1,800 miles long just to bring water for one day. And then to get across the Red Sea, isn't that a wonderful thing? We've all seen the paintings, or at least I remember historically, of you see two and three people wide going through and you're looking up at the walls of the water, and it's beautiful. But if they went across on a narrow path, two people wide, that many people, it would be a line 800 miles long. And it would require 35 days and nights for that many people to pass across. So they figure they had a space in the Red Sea that would be about 3 miles wide and crossed 5,000 abreast to get across in one night. And when they camped, you ever thought about how big an area might take for that many people? Well, the army came with about two-thirds the size of the state of Rhode Island, about 750 square miles. Wow. Do you think Moses figured all that out before he left Egypt? No, not at all. Because Moses believed in God, amen? God took care of these things for him. And that was just one little group of people. Well, one big group. But when I think about that, you think about the power of God and how he's promised to give to us all the power that he has to be successful in this life, I'm blown away. That's an amazing promise. So if we stop and think about it, God's divine power is not stumped by any problem that you can imagine. Think of anything that could bother you in any way, and then pause a moment and go, would that be a problem for God? Things like lack of money, loss of health, habits maybe I need to give up, overpowering temptations, a struggling marriage, wayward children, a struggle to follow God's diet, anything. I mean, friends, nothing of these things would even begin to be too big for God's divine power. So do you think that the creator of the universe, the one who can speak worlds into power and gives life, has any problem that he does not have the power to handle? I don't think so. God can handle all of it. And sometimes we get focused and tricked by Satan to spend so much time and energy with our eyes down here, and we do not get God's power. In the New Testament alone, there are over 150 references to power. And in the Old Testament, the word power shows up 110 times. It's not like a small thing. Think of the Lord's Prayer. Turn over to Matthew, if you'd like. Matthew chapter 6. And the last part of verse 13. Basically the end of the Lord's Prayer here. And it says, "For yours is the kingdom and the what? Power. And the glory forever." The second advent of Christ, his soon return, describes Jesus as coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24:30. Luke 9:1 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority." If you go to the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, verse 29, says, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength." Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." Back in the New Testament, Luke 10, verse 19, remember when the Lord sent out the 70 into the cities to preach, share the gospel there in Luke 10, and they came back rejoicing, right? And Jesus said, "Well, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, where he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." That "all" is an important word. All power. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." In the Bible, friends, there are verse after verse after verse about God's power and the power that he gives to Jesus, who in turn passes that power on to his believers. So indeed, even the Christian life begins by God's power, doesn't it? John 1:12 reads, "But as many as received him, to them he gave his power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name." Paul says the same thing. He wrote in Romans 1:16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Last one I picked was 2 Corinthians 13:4. It says, "For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." Beautiful promises. This means that if one has received Jesus Christ as your Savior and have given your life over to him to let him be the Lord of your life and guide you, it was even done by God's power. One can't even become a Christian except by God's power. We're helpless without him. The devil's got us every single time without God's power. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you've already received some of God's power. Lots of Christians, though, however, never seem to experience any more, not a lot, of God's power after that. They start strong in the Christian race, but soon they start stumbling, falling, and kind of stall out in their spiritual walk, slip back into their old ways of worldly thoughts, speech, entertainment, dress, diet, all the things that have been there, you just kind of slide back, right? We all know some of that has happened. So what's the problem? Why are we so powerless? Does he take it back? Doesn't he supply us with enough to get us through our troubles and all our temptations? How come this happens? Friends, I'd like to suggest that it's because of a poor connection, or no true connection at all, into that power. I think of a while back in buying one of my new computers when they still printed manuals. Now you got to look online for them. But you go through the troubleshooting area and you get back down here, and then one of the first things is, try to turn it on, it won't come on. So you look it up and it says, well, make sure the power cord is firmly plugged into the back of the computer's power socket, and the other end of the cord is plugged into a 110-volt outlet, and then press the power button on the front and it should turn on. And we think, well, pretty basic, right? I mean, duh. Yeah, got to be plugged in. How long does your cell phone last if you don't charge it up? Not very long. All the technical gadgets in our life must be securely plugged into a power source, right? Don't miss the word I said there. Securely. You know, while building one of our houses, I remember being almost 20 foot up a ladder, sawing the ends off the rafters, the tails, and I'd get up there and big skill saw, and I'm starting up, and I get halfway in through the board, and suddenly the saw stops. Set the saw down, go back all the way down the ladder. And what do I do? Well, you follow the extension cord, you trace it back, and lo and behold, what do I find? Disconnected. The power cords had come apart, and I no longer had power. And it's an easy problem to solve, right? Plug them back together and go back up the ladder. Yeah. And I think we Christians become powerless for the same reason. We got a loose connection between ourselves and God. Or, I dare say, maybe not even plugged in at all to some level. Not only do we not ask for God's power and claim his promises enough, some may not even open his word all week. So, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands or anything, but think yourselves, I mean, how is your daily Bible study and your prayer time going? Are you truly seeking, thirsting after his power and that connection as strongly as you might? In your time alone and also in your family worship, I encourage you to take that time, to make that time, to find a time, and just that's more important than eating. Because if you wait until you have time enough to do it, guess what? The devil's going to make sure you never have time. Jesus said we are to abide in him, right? As close as branches abide in the vine. There can be no loose connection. If you're grafting a plant into here and it's a sloppy job and it's not bound up, it's not going to make it. And that's the same with us. If we don't have a good, tight connection regularly plugged into him, we become powerless and then we're victims of Satan. That's why the first activity I would suggest of your day would be to check your connection with God. Pray and ask him to plug us into his power for that day. And then keep coming back and check that connection throughout the day. Think about that. So if you want power to live a godly life, the first thing we need to do is to ask for it. He says he wants to give us that power free. He wants to give us good gifts more than us humans want to give gifts to our children, etc. But we must keep on asking for it. We must keep staying plugged in with God. So don't let the busy work of life and the worries and the struggles break your connection with him. Satan will try his best to make sure that you have 1,000 excuses not to make that time. Well, going back to 2 Peter 1, in verse 3, we read again that sweet sentence that says, his divine power has, that's past tense, it's already there for you, has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. I think all of us would acknowledge that God has the power, right? He can take care of anything. We see that. But we have a little bit of trouble sometimes believing maybe or even accepting the part of the verse that says has given to us. We struggle with that part. Because why would the powerful God, creator of the universe, take time for individual people in their day-to-day lives? Our society, our life, conditions us to think that you don't get anything from anybody for free, right? Everything's a cost. You've got to earn the right to go to important people and ask for things. Yet God is saying here that he's sharing his full power with us, giving us what we need for everything in life and for godliness. It seems too good to be true, right? Think about your life. Think about the challenges that each of you have, and I know everybody does. That power is there for us, but this idea of having to earn it or deserve it is the way humans look at things. We have to earn it. Praise God, that's not with him. He delights in giving good gifts to his children. He wants to. The Bible has one word for God's generosity. You know what the word is? Outrageous, that's a good one. I love it. Actually, I was thinking of grace. Outrageous grace, two words. Yes. Grace means getting a gift that one doesn't deserve or you can't earn. The gift is God's unconditional love, his acceptance, whoever you are and however you are, his total forgiveness, and his incredible, full, complete, divine power to enable everyone to live a power-filled life. J.W. Chapman tells a story of a man who was converted during one of his meetings, and he gave the following testimony. Quote, he says, I got off at the Pennsylvania Depot as a tramp, and for a year I begged on the streets for a living. One day I reached out and I touched a man on the shoulder and I said, hey, mister, can you give me a dime? Tell how old this is. You give me a dime? And he turned, and as soon as I saw his face, I was shocked to see it was my own father. I said, Father, Father, do you know me? Throwing his arms around me and with tears in his eyes, he said, oh, my son, at last I have found you. I have found you. You want a dime? Everything I have is yours. Think of it, the changed man said. I was a tramp. I stood begging my own father for 10 cents. when for 18 years he had been searching and looking for me to give me all that he had. That's an illustration of grace, right? God's grace and love, because God is the Father seeking us out to give us all that he has, and yet we stumble in the asking and the taking and receiving and enabling of his power in us. So many don't really understand how critically short we are on time. We are literally standing on the precipice of eternity. Amen? And we are, bad news, powerless to be victorious without God's power. Or maybe we're just too proud. We like to do it ourselves, or we hate to admit we can't repair ourselves. That's how we've been trained to think. We've grown up. We try to tell ourselves, you know, we're all right the way we are. I mean, all you need is love, right? When we are truly, truly in desperate need of help and God's power. So how much better it is just to go to God on our knees and say, Lord, I need your divine power in my life daily. On my own, I can't be the person I want to be. I can't do the good I want to do. I can't stop doing the bad that I keep wanting to do. I need help turning my will even over to you and to follow your will. Help me to love everybody in the same way that you do. So here I am, Father, reaching up to accept that which you have already promised me. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your real power. Imbibe my life. You know, friends, God always answers a prayer like that. Not because I say so. The Word of God says so, right? His divine power that he has given to us with all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. Friends, join me. Make it a pledge that every day you'll get down on your knees and ask your Lord to come into your life and through his power make you victorious in all ways in your life, so that one glorious day, you and you and you and you and you and me and everybody here and everybody who hears my voice can stand before the King because of God's power and say, oh, listen, Jesus just said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your Lord. Only by his power. Friends, that's real power, right? That's what I want. That's what you want. That's what we all need. So friends, don't forget the sweet promises. And don't forget to ask. Because God is more than willing to give you everything, to get you all the power through the challenges of your life, whether it's health or money or family or this or that or anything you can think of. Our Creator God is bigger. And he wants to take us home. Praise God for him. Let's make sure that we stay securely plugged in and we keep nothing between our soul and our Savior. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being our loving, powerful God and for giving us the sweet promises that all of your power is available to us. That's just incredible, Lord. Forgive us for not staying connected. Lord, work in our hearts and our lives that we may see when we're starting to get faulty, when we start to get a loose connection. And Lord, may we respond to your Spirit's gentle touch and recommit and plead for your closeness. So, Father, may each of us go from here today rejoicing in a deeper awareness of the promises that you are already victorious, that you have all the power we need, that you have promised to see us through clear to the end. And so, Father, may we go here rejoicing with a fresh commitment to your power in every aspect of our lives. And help us to share that, to reflect that to the world around us, for time is short and you've called us to be your representatives and to lead to our Savior. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.